Who is my neighbor? This is a central question in the church today, and one that's even discussed in the life of our nation. It's a question that surrounds the talk about immigration laws. It's a question related to how we treat each other, from the corporate executive to the homeless person. During this election year, it centers on party affiliation and how we respond to those who choose to have a differing opinion. Who is my neighbor? Touches every aspect of our lives.
That's the Reverend Canon David Lovelace. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is a new day of faith and hope. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thanks, Sherry. We're delighted to welcome back to Day One today the Reverend Canon David Lovelace, who for 19 years has served as the rector of St. John Episcopal Church in York, Pennsylvania. David earned degrees from Ferrum Junior College and Emory and Henry College and holds a Master of Divinity degree from Virginia Theological Seminary and a Master of Sacred Theology and Pastoral Care from Columbia Theological Seminary. He has worked on numerous church and community boards and committees through his career. David, thanks for being with us again.
Thank you.
You were last with us 4 years ago, and you've led this wonderful parish, St. John, in York, Pennsylvania, for nearly 20 years now. That's a long time these days. I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes in the church and the community over the years, but give us a sense of what it means for you to walk with your people in ministry for that period of time.
It is a long time. It's amazing to me to have people call me and say, can you baptize my child, when I remember baptizing them as a child. But what it does mean, from my perspective, there's a certain level of trust that's built up over time, an engagement with families. And I've often said, you know, I'm privileged to share with families in difficult times, but also in the happiest of times. So it's been a real privilege for me to do that over a long period of time. 20 years is a long time.
If you could go back and tell yourself something as the new rector there, what would it be?
That's an interesting question to think about. I think the thing that has struck me over time is the importance of that particular parish's history and the fact that that history has formed who they are as a community. And they are a community based in the city of York. And when it might be easier to move other places in order to attract more people, they've been willing to stay there and to talk about how they minister to that particular population that's in the city. Although many of the people who are in the city do not attend church there, they do come to that church for a variety of reasons during the week. In fact, some of them have even called on me to visit them in the hospital or in when there's a funeral or something, and I'll say to them, how do I know you? And they'll say, well, I come to your church on Tuesdays.
As we discussed last week, St. John has an incredible history. But with all that history, what do you see happening with the church in the future?
I think that that history has informed who they are and will continue to inform who they are. They are in the middle of a renovation process. But what they've said in that renovation process is that we want to make this building and this campus safe and secure and suitable for all people who come here. So that when people are coming to learn English as a second language and they're coming to participate in support groups, they come and they feel safe and there's easy access. And as a parish, we're saying, we want to minister to your needs. We want to be here for you. And I think that sends a very powerful message.
And you yourself are not only a leader in your parish and your community, but also work with a number of community and ministry boards. What are some of the ways you serve and why is that an important part of your ministry?
I've often felt that for me personally, being involved in the community was vitally important. It's one way that I can contribute to the life of the community. And so things like being on the board for Habitat for Humanity or currently being on the consultation committee for the hospital for the CPE program, being on the board of Spirit Trust Lutheran, enables me to participate in the life of the community and to share the gifts that I have with a larger community, gifts that I share in the church community then can be shared with a wider group of people.
David, how did you experience your call to the ministry?
Actually, it was over time. I grew up in the Episcopal Church, was nourished by the Episcopal Church. during a time when I was working on a God and Country ward and scouting. One of the priests said, "Have you ever thought about going to seminary?" And I thought, maybe, but I don't know. Why me? And then as I became more involved over the years in the church, went away to school, came back, sat on vestries and so forth, I began to feel that maybe there was something there. So I went and talked to Bishop Hall in Virginia at the time, who said to me, "Okay, go to seminary and check it out." Mm-hmm. Nowadays we don't do that as much, but they did then. And so I did, and it's been a great fit. I've had tremendous, tremendous ministry for almost 40 years now, so it's been a good fit for me.
Hmm. Well, your sermon today is based on the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, the very well-known story of the Good Samaritan. Would you read it for us?
"Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he said, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What do you read there?' He answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You've given the right answer. Do this, and you will live.' But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
David, I'm sure you've preached on this text numerous times. Did anything new strike you as you studied it for this time?
The amazing thing to me as I thought about it was the fact, the generosity of the Samaritan. When I thought about this, how this man stopped, and not only did he stop, but he used the oil and the things he had to help the man be cured of his wounds, to bandage him up, to put him on his own animal and take him and find lodging for him and then say, "You know, whatever he needs, take care of it, and I'll settle up with you later." Tremendous generosity.
Mm-hmm. Well, we look forward to learning more about this. Your sermon today is entitled, "There Are No Bystanders." David, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program or read or share a transcript of David Lovelace's sermon, visit our website at dayone.org. Or for a free printed sermon transcript, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1.
This is Sherry Miller. For 71 years, Day One, formerly the Protestant Hour, has been shining the light of God's Word and God's love. Please consider making a donation to ensure that we can continue to minister in the years ahead. Day One helps countless people just like you grow in their faith, and we appreciate their feedback. A listener from Minnesota wrote, "There's not another program like Day One that allows you to hear the Word of God from so many gifted voices." If you appreciate the ministry Day One provides, please give generously. Your donation allows the good news to be heard across the USA and around the world. Mail your contribution to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. That's 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Or call us at 1-888-411-DAY1. Or give securely online at dayone.org. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
I expect if there's one story in the New Testament that's familiar to most everyone, it's this story from Luke that includes the parable of the Good Samaritan. I've watched many children act out this story in Bible school or as a Sunday school skit. The simplicity of the story allows the children to enter into the story with imagination. And while it's a fun story to enact, I wonder how many of us grasp the impact of Jesus' parable. Olorio stood up to test Jesus. At the time Jesus lived, there were hundreds of laws governing most every aspect of life. The question posed to Jesus by the lawyer was one many have wondered about. What must I do to win the prize of eternal life? Typical of Jesus, he turns the question back on the lawyer. What's written in the law? The lawyer knew, in theory, the foundation of all laws could be traced to the Ten Commandments. In response, the lawyer recited the summary of the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. The lawyer was in the position of most of us. He could recite what the law said. He decided to take his question one step further. And who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? This is a central question in the church today, and one that's even discussed in the life of our nation. It's a question that surrounds the talk about immigration laws. It's a question related to how we treat each other, from the corporate executive to the homeless person. Who is my neighbor raises questions about race and sexual preference. During this election year, it centers on party affiliation and how we respond to those who choose to have a differing opinion. Who is my neighbor touches every aspect of our lives. Jesus did not lecture the lawyer about neighborliness. Instead, he told him a story. It's a story that answered the lawyer's initial question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The story Jesus told is about putting words into action. While the lawyer wondered about attaining the reward, Jesus talked about eternal life now. In essence, Jesus told the lawyer, eternal life is in the doing. I believe there are two challenges for modern-day hearers of this story recorded by Luke. First and foremost, for the hearers of this parable, in Jesus' day, no Samaritans were considered to be good Samaritans. Samaritans were viewed with suspicion as outsiders. For us, every Samaritan is a good Samaritan, so we expect the compassionate response to the man beaten and lying beside the road. Secondly, we see the situation too narrowly as one single man's compassion. All we see are the victim, the perpetrator, and the rescuer as the players in the story. We forget the bystanders who are just ordinary folk going about their business. There's a wonderful folk tale from Burma that captures for me the essence of what I believe Jesus was saying to all listening when he told the parable. It's a similar story, yet different in that it reminds me, and will perhaps remind you, there are no innocent bystanders. Long ago, a traveler was walking through the jungles of Burma when he came upon a small village. As the sun was going down, he decided to just sleep along the roadside and enter the village in the morning. Taking his coin purse from around his neck, he found a stone nearby and hid his purse so no one would take it as he slept. As it turned out, a villager had spotted him hiding the purse. Late at night, as the traveler slept, the villager returned and stole the purse. When the traveler awoke, the money was gone. The traveler sat down beside the road and began to weep. A crowd began to gather, curious about this traveler weeping on the edge of the village. Before long, the mayor joined the crowd and inquired about the situation. He listened to the traveler, then asked to see the stone. The traveler walked a short distance to a round stone about the size of a man's head. The mayor ordered, "Arrest that stone. Bring that thief to the town square, where I'll convene a court." The villagers followed the mayor and the traveler to the town square. Once the village elders were in place, the mayor convened the court. The mayor asked the stone, "What is your name?" The stone was silent. The mayor leaned forward closer to the stone and demanded, "Where did you come from?" More silence. "Well, at least tell me your age." By this time, some of the villagers were casting glances at each other. Small smiles and puzzled looks were on the faces of the villagers. The mayor pushed his face closer to the stone. "So you don't want to speak up? Tell me, why were you loitering outside our village?" The villagers began to cover their mouths to muffle their laughter. "So were you looking for trouble?" Some of the villagers could not contain themselves any longer. They let out a laugh. The mayor turned to the crowd and declared, "Show some respect. This is a court of law." The mayor turned back to the stone. "You will not answer my questions, so I hold you in contempt of court. In punishment, you will receive 30 lashes with a stick." The crowd could no longer contain themselves. They let out uproarious laughter. The mayor turned to the crowd. "Have you no respect for this court? I fine every one of you a coin apiece." One by one, the villagers came forward and dropped a coin in a bowl in front of the mayor. The mayor then gave the coins to the traveler and apologized for the crime that had been committed outside of the village. The traveler's eyes filled with tears, for what he had lost had been restored. The mayor wished the traveler well and ordered the stone to be returned to the place where it was found. People talked about this trial for some time. Some thought the mayor acted foolishly, but most admitted the mayor acted with great wisdom. Every time the villagers walked past the stone, they were reminded that they share the burdens of one another and all who pass their way. This story and the parable remind me there are no bystanders in this life. We all know the right thing to do. We know deep in our hearts that we are all connected to one another as neighbors. Jesus asked the lawyer, after reciting the parable about the Samaritan, "Which one of these acted like a neighbor?" The lawyer replied, "The one who showed mercy." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." The story and the parable show us how being a neighbor works. The story may have ended, but it's not over. Go and do likewise. The rest of the story is up to us. Let us pray. Eternal God, breathe on your church anew the gift of the Spirit, that we serving you may respond to the needs of our neighbors with compassion that embodies your love for each of us. Strengthen us in service, so we may honor Jesus' call to go and serve in his most holy name. Amen.
The Reverend Canon David Lovelace was our preacher today. David is rector of St. John Episcopal Church in York, Pennsylvania. His message is entitled, "There Are No Bystanders." For a free transcript, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. And remember, Day 1 depends on the financial support of our listeners. If you appreciate our ministry, please consider making a donation. You can mail it to Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Or call us at 1-888-411-DAY1. DAY1. We're grateful for your support. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Dr. Paul Telstrom, Senior Pastor of Irvine United Congregational Church, UCC, in Irvine, California. His sermon is entitled, The Better Part. Be sure to tune in. Day One invites you to travel to the lands of the Bible. This October, noted church leader Peter Marty will lead a Mediterranean cruise focusing on the journeys of Paul. You'll hear fascinating teaching and enjoy expert guides as you experience the beauty of these captivating locales. The cruise is managed by Educational Opportunity Tours, which has more than 40 years of Christian travel experience. You, your family, and friends are invited to enjoy this faith-building journey of a lifetime. But register soon as space is limited. For more information, visit dayone.org/travel. That's dayone.org/travel. Or call us at 1-888-411-DAY1. Now, David Lovelace offers some final reflections on today's sermon with our host, Peter Wallace.
David, this story in Luke starts with an expert in the law asking Jesus a question to test him. It's a simple question about eternal life, and Jesus turns it back on the lawyer, asking him what is written in the law. So he knew the answer already, but then he takes his question one step further, you said, by asking, "And who is my neighbor?" And it's a question that we have to answer ourselves, and as you put it, it touches every aspect of our lives. So how might we attempt to answer that question seriously and intentionally in our own lives?
Do have to pay attention to those around us. We have to pay attention to how people live, to the cultures that they come from, to who they are, and we really need to get to know each other. I think in this day and age, with all of our communication devices, we really don't know each other, which reminds me of a time when I would go and sit on the front porch with my grandfather in the mountains of Virginia, and he knew everybody going up and down the street and would talk to them. And I think about my own life, where I go to work every day, I come home, I put the car in the garage, I close the garage door, and I truly don't know my neighbors. And I think that's a challenge for us today, to really get to know our neighbors, to know who they are, and to truly try to understand them as human beings.
You shared an amazing story about a mayor in a Burmese town who put a stone on trial in order to cleverly repay a traveler who'd been robbed. You said every time the villagers walk past the stone now, they are reminded that they share the burdens of one another and all who pass their way. This story and the parable remind us that there are no bystanders in life, you said. We all know the right thing to do. We are all connected to one another as neighbors. But that's not always easy. Is there a way to set that as our default response in life?
I think that is a challenge. All of us know. We know it's the right thing to do. We know how we should treat our neighbors. But knowing it and doing it are two different things, which I think is what Jesus was trying to say to the lawyer. The lawyer knew the right thing to do. But then Jesus was saying to him, go and act that way. Go and act in love to your neighbor, knowing how much God loves you. Treat your neighbor as you want to be treated. Go and do that. And it's in the doing, and I think that's the hard part. We know what we need to do. It's just putting it into action.
David, what's one thing from your sermon that you hope our listeners will keep in mind this week?
That we are indeed neighbors, and that there truly are no bystanders in this world.
David Lovelace, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.